This is EAA Radio.
And this is Fast Eddie, Digital Dave. Right. And with us today from the FAA, they're here to help, remember that. We have Tammy Flo, and she's involved in weather research.
Whether or not to research?
We do research. Actually, yes, I am the manager of the weather research branch in the aviation weather division, and we do lots of research in different areas, you know, regarding aviation weather hazards. We have icing group, we have a ceiling visibility group, we have convection, and then we have turbulence, which is, even though I'm the manager of the branch, I am the lead for all the turbulence research. And I've been in this job for about 15 years.
Turbulence.
Well, first off, it's hard to find it to research it, isn't it?
It's out there.
Turbulence, it's out there.
You know, it's there, all right.
Yeah. No, we have ways of detecting it from aircraft in flight, and we also have ways to forecast it that we've developed at the FAA.
Okay.
So
you disseminate this to airlines and stuff that hope?
We do. Actually, we have what we call the Graphical Turbulence Guidance product, and that's actually operational at the National Weather Service on aviationweather.gov. That provides 1 hour forecasts of turbulence over the U.S. out to 18 hours, and it's from the surface to 45,000 feet. And so anybody can get onto this publicly available website and get this forecast if they want before. And there's different weight classes. When you go to the website, you'll have to pick what weight class you're looking at. Unfortunately, there's not a GA. There is a light, which is pretty much biz jet kind of stuff. But okay, you can kind of figure out where a GA aircraft would fit on that.
Let's define turbulence. Is there like a minimum number, wind shear, something like this?
No, I mean, turbulence can range from very, very small eddies in the atmosphere up to very large eddies, such as mountain wave turbulence, okay, that can last quite a long time. Turbulence in the smaller aircraft type size, turbulence can be very transitory, which is why it's so hard to forecast. And we do use a lot of aircraft observations and PIREPS to help us with that.
So you thoroughly advocate PIREPS?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, we when it comes to turbulence, sometimes the very severe PIREPS that we get they're off in time and space because, let's face it, the aircraft owner or operator is more worried about keeping the people and the staff back buckled in and the flight attendant seated, and so oftentimes we get a PIREP late. Which is why we have developed a way to detect turbulence on aircraft called eddy dissipation rate, or EDR. And so that's how we can get real-time observations off of aircraft that are objective and they're accurate in space and time. And we do get a lot of that information.
Now, is that based on an additional equipment installed on that aircraft, or is that off ADS-B data?
Well, I'll get to ADS-B later. Currently, the EDR algorithm derives a measure of the atmospheric turbulence based on measurements that are from sensors that are already on the aircraft. So there's no extra installation. It's a piece of software that gets installed on the avionics of the aircraft, and then it just reports it via ACARS.
Wow.
Well, you know, turbulence is such a transitory thing. The FAA's tightening up the spacing between airliners these days. Is wake turbulence from another aircraft a factor that you have to deal with sometimes?
Yeah, wake factor definitely is something that we have to worry about with aircraft and spacing. That is not addressed really in our products that we have because that's considered a non-meteorological event that you get in the atmosphere. But there are, some of this information that we put out can be used for wake turbulence detection, and that's an area that we're working on as well.
That's interesting because usually you think about wake turbulence during takeoff and landing only, not during cruise flight.
Oh, well, yeah. If you're, I've heard of incidents that en route up, several hundred thousand or tens of thousands of feet up there that if they're flying too close, there goes the aircraft.
Well, let's not do that, man.
Well, you see, you look up in the sky and the contrail that the jet leaves lasts for quite a while. Mm-hmm. The question I have is the wake turbulence from the jet along that contrail, does that last as long?
This is very interesting. We're involved in a lot of research right now. We're beginning to about persistent contrails. And yes, if the contrail that you see up there is still there, then you're still going to encounter turbulence. You can see the effects of the waves. So definitely, if you're up there and you see a contrail, you probably don't want to fly through it.
Okay. That's good to know.
Well, I kind of figured
most of the
that.
Time, they dissipate fairly rapidly.
Yeah, that I use that as a, you know, really crappy measurement of humidity, how long the contrail persists.
Well, no, that's actually a very good point.
Mm-hmm. So, what's the state of the art in wake turbulence research?
Again, you know, we're not involved too much in the wake area. We work primarily in forecasting for like en route type stuff. So we don't have a product that actually deals with wake turbulence specifically. We have other products that help the aircraft in mainly en route type stuff.
Okay.
Well, what are the causes of turbulence, meteorological causes?
Well, it's wind shear. You can get different types of wind shear, especially associated with the jet stream. You'll often get clear air turbulence associated with the jet stream. You can also have sources of turbulence from thunderstorms. And the interesting thing and the thing to keep in mind about thunderstorms is you can oftentimes get severe turbulence hundreds of miles from the actual thunderstorm itself. You know, it's, for example, out of the anvil of the thunderstorm. And so a lot of people aren't aware of that. The other thing people aren't aware of with convective turbulence is they think it's safe to fly over the clouds. And sometimes it is safe to fly over stable clouds, but a lot of times the very severe incidents that we see in the Part 121 are coming from them flying over a rapidly developing thunderstorm and just getting whacked by the updraft.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Tammy Flo from the FAA. You guys also work with National Weather Service on this?
Yes, we do. We our products within the Aviation Weather Research Program. We develop products that for use within operations. So we develop them, and then we transition them to operations at the National Weather Service. And one of those products that is running at National Weather Service, as I said, is the Graphical Turbulence Guidance, or the GTG.
So you hear a lot about Doppler radar being used in weather forecasting and everything. Does the Doppler radar give you any indication that there's turbulence out there, or is that mostly just the eyeball?
No. So that's a really good question, actually. Let's say red indicators in a radar indicate heavy precipitation. They don't necessarily indicate severe turbulence. I could show you, we're going to do a briefing later on this week, but you can see that we have programs that derive the level of turbulence within a thunderstorm based on the next red radar. And oftentimes the most severe turbulence is not where you would expect it in the highest returns on the radar. That's heavy precip, not necessarily heavy turbulence.
Well, I know that some of the phased array radars I worked on at Lockheed, blah, 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 could actually detect dust and insects, mm-hmm. Could use to track airflow.
Oh, yeah. Then sometimes you'll get the birds taking off early in the morning. You can pick that up on radar.
Okay. And then none of them have a clearance. What the heck?
No, none.
I think Sully could have used that, you know?
Yeah.
So how long has this research been going on? Have you learned way more than you thought you would?
Yeah. So actually, you know, the FAA research program into turbulence started, you know, 20, 25 years ago, way before my time. And we've been progressively getting better at our forecasting. We have a product I want to put a plug in for, our Graphical Turbulence Guidance NowCast. It's a rapidly updated NowCast, just like a zero-hour forecast, that's updated every 15 minutes. And so we incorporate current observations from PIREPS, from radar, from any kind of information we can get, the aircraft obs and that sort of thing. And it's a really good product that's been called a game changer by the Part 121 community, because it does give them a way to tactically use the information while they're in flight. And I'll be talking later in the week about GTGN as well.
Okay, very good. And where do we find that on the web?
Aviationweather.gov has the operational GTG, not the NowCast. So the NowCast is not operational yet. We have it running in a beta version at the National Center for Atmospheric Research. You can access the data. You just need to sign a license. It's no cost. So that's out there. But aviationweather.gov has all the good products that are used operationally.
Now, you say you're not working down in the GA weight classes. However, my opinion is, if it's on your thing, it's going to be a problem for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, based on aircraft size. If you're looking at a forecast for a 737, you're going to expect more.
Yeah, I don't want to fly through that in my Cessna.
That's correct.
So, good to know.
I was going to say, with all the airline travel I've done recently, it's been more turbulent this year than I could ever remember.
Yeah, there are some indications in some of the studies that have been done that turbulence is on the rise globally because of climate change.
I guess all these heat domes and everything else going on.
Yeah, there's some indications. It's not a definite yet. We're still that's a big area of research right now as to how climate change is going to affect turbulence, as well as how that is going to impact air traffic routes, because there'll be changes based on turbulence patterns as well.
I think that most of the research that's being done with that is with the weather Ouija board.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people think that. We're trying to do a little better.
They've got the little ball.
It's now a digital weather Ouija board.
Yeah. There you go. So your best piece of advice is just keep your seatbelt fastened all the time.
Absolutely. That's what I tell people who are sitting next to me on an airplane. I say, Dave, put that seatbelt back on.
Yeah, you never know.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. There have been far too many incidents recently of people flying around.
People getting launched.
Right. We're getting a lot of case studies, let's put it that way.
Oh, that's a nice way to frame it.
Yeah, well, we don't want that to happen for sure. I have a friend of mine. It's a flight attendant, and she says it's getting rough up there.
That's right, and flight attendants are affected more than any other person on an airplane because they're usually not buckled in.
Right, they're totally exposed.
Yep, absolutely.
Plus the fact that turbulence can hit you at any time.
The clear air, you can't see it coming.
And then
is anybody working on magnetic boots so they get stuck to the floor?
Not that I'm aware of.
There's a field they should look into.
Yeah, definitely, or some kind of a safety strap system.
That's right.
Bungee cord.
you have to consider in turbulence not just the passengers and the flight attendants, but everybody's got portable electronic devices.
Exactly.
I'm more worried about that food cart floating around.
That's a substantial
piece of equipment. A 500-pound food cart.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't want to get hit with that.
No, I don't either.
Guess I'm not flying aisle seat anymore.
But it is amazing to see weather phenomenon. And we were talking about wake turbulence. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, I keep thinking maybe we're flying through that.
Yeah.
I hope so. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Tammy.
Oh, yeah. And let me give a plug for our weather booth in the FAA Safety Center
hangar.
Come by and stop us. See us. We've got demos and all kinds of stuff to show you.
All right. Thank you very much. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.